Chavez deal. Fastball hit in the air to left field. That's deep. That goes Chavez back near the wall, leaping, and he made the catch! He took a home run away from Rowland, trying to get back to first Edmonds. He's doubled off, and the inning is over! A miraculous play!
Hi, this is Jay Harwitz with the latest edition of the Amazing Mets Love Life podcast. And our special guest this week is the great Andy Chavez. Andy, I looked over some notes. Andy probably made the greatest defensive play in the history of postseason baseball. Andy, did you ever think what would happen? I mean, you're famous enough that it is if the Mets had gone on to win the World Series. You know, I mean, you know, everything has been great, but did you ever stop to think what would happen if we had won that year in 2006?
Wow, I think I should be playing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, like maybe I get a contract for life there.
Oh. But,
you know, it was very special because, first of all, I wasn't supposed to play that, you know, in the playoff. That's why they bring Sean Green to play right field. So I'm just ready to do my job, you know, from the bench, like all year round. But well, you know, Cliff Floyd got hurt and I had to play from the beginning of the playoff. So everything comes up like from nothing. And I had to, you know, make the adjustment and get ready to play every day now.
Before we get to the playoffs, Andy, you know, 2006, you know, great year for Andy Chavez. Over 300 at bats, hitting 306 for the year. What was the difference for you that year, Andy, if you remember back, you know, 15 years ago this month?
I think the difference was that I had the opportunity to play almost every day. Because the team had a lot of issue on the outfielders with injury, trades, and stuff like that. So always I had a spot to play, and they put me in. So I think that helped me to get, you know, as an everyday player that I used to be in early in my career, and give me the confidence that I can do that, you know. And I always feel that I was way better player playing every day than from the bench. From the bench is not easy job to do. And I think that's why I had a pretty good year, and especially that I was in New York. And, you know, I like the excitement. I like the challenge. I like the competition that you can feel in New York City. So especially when nobody expecting something from me, because I didn't have that big contract, and that was like, okay, am I going to tell everybody that Andy Chavez here too?
So let me set the scene for the fans. It's game 7, 2006 National League Championship Series. After 5 innings, scores tied 1-1. Jim Edmonds is on first base. I'm sitting in the press box, and as soon as Rowland hit the ball, I said, oh, expletive. I thought it was a two-run home run. Tell me what you felt when you saw the ball coming to a Jendy.
I mean, everything started when Willie came in to talk to the pitcher, and we know we had a righty guy in the pen. And when he decided to leave it there, I already know how Oliver was challenged Scott Rowland inside.
Yeah, Oliver Perez, which was pitcher. Yeah,
Oliver Perez, yeah. So I was thinking like, oh, they busted me inside, so I'm going to do a few steps back and just get if he hit on the gap or on the line, I have more chance to get quick to the ball to try to get Edmond at home. But on the first pitch, I saw the ball hit to me like a bullet. And I knew the ball was on the fence or it's gone. So I had to sprint the quickest I can over there. I always make sure I get to the fence first so I can decide to jump or not. But at that time, I didn't have that time to get to the fence on time. And I just, you know, had to get my basketball skill. I let you. Right. Yeah. When I was in the warning track.
Yeah. And the fence is 8 feet high out there. 8 feet high.
Oh, it's yeah. And like I said, I saw the ball very high, and I didn't thought I had the chance to get there. But I did all I could. And I just, after that, I put my gloves where I thought the ball was going to land. And I didn't see nothing. I saw the ball in front of me the last time, but all the way behind the fence, I didn't see nothing. I just felt when the ball hit the glove. And I'm like, well, it's in. So I tried to pull it in. I can't even barely grip my glove because it's almost went off when with the impact. And I tried to look for the ball in the air. And when I saw it, I saw it on my glove. So right away, I tried to get Edmond where he was. And he was stopping around shortstop and trying to go back to first. I'm like, he better hurry up because I'm coming in.
And to me, the throw was just as crazy as the catch. I mean, you got it to Valentin and you got it to Delgado and double play.
Yeah, and everything happened just like that.
Yeah. The only unfortunate thing about that game is the bottom of that inning, we had the bases loaded, didn't score. And our longtime nemesis, Yadier Molina, hits a two-run homer and we lose. Listen, I know, you know, 2006 was, you know, we won 90-plus games, won a division, beat the Dodgers in three straight. It was still a little frustrating. I thought it was probably one of the best Met teams I've ever been associated with. What do you think, Andy, looking back?
Well, what I can tell you is, like, I knew whoever passed to the World Series, whatever team, is going to win the World Series because that was the game of World Series. And both teams, they played good. We're playing hard, and we won it. So, and all year round, especially us, we have outstanding year. And we was ready for it. We never thought we can gonna be out that way. We always believed we're gonna be on the World Series that year.
I always felt, you know, unfortunately the series ended with Carlos Beltran taking the third strike from, you know, Adam Wainwright. I always felt, you know, Beltran was probably one of the best contracts, 7 years that we have ever given as a free agent contract. And I think he's been maligned through the years of, you know, he had a great postseason, great playoffs, and people to blame it on Carlos was pretty unfair. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think in that particular bat, Carlos just had one pitch to hit in that at bat, and it was the first pitch. That's the first pitch he threw a fastball right down the middle, and then he just trying to make him chasing with the curveball, what he did with the second pitch. And Carlos maybe was thinking that the curveball is going to be almost the same pitch, like chasing down. And he just threw it right to the middle. I don't know what happened, if he just trying to do that or he just let the ball hang it. But I was running on second, and that was a nasty pitch too.
Yeah. So because of the catch, you had a bobblehead named after you. There's a plaque outside in the walk at City Field named after you. And in the left field gate, is kind of like this if you're making the catch. So, I mean, that's got a pretty good memories that, you know, whatever, you know, there's Mookie's at bat, you know, Mike's home run, and, you know, and Indiana Chavez's catch is pretty, must be pretty good for you to know you have a great part in Mets history like that.
Oh, man. I mean, that's very special. I mean, it's an honor because, I can't believe it when my friend told me, hey, I just went to City Field and I saw the play, you know, on the floor. And I'm like, really? Like Hollywood? Oh, wow. I never thought that can be possible. That was a very nice surprise that I had. I never thought, you know, with the new stadium to have something like that. And when I went to visit Stadium 2, I watched the game. I saw the video and, you know, the little museum that you have, got my shirt when I played that day that I made the catch.
Well deserved, Andy. So let's talk about your career for a second. You didn't get a big signing bonus. You had to work your way up from the low minors. You know, you wind up playing you know, 13 years in the majors with seven different teams. Now you're a coach with the Mets farm system. You know, just put the catch aside. Don't you think your career is an example to the younger guys that you got to fight for everything and nothing's going to be easy? And you made a 13-year major league career, starting from the bottom and working yourself up to the top. I mean, talk about the struggles you had. Not struggles, but how you progressed.
Because especially when I got signed, it was a very hard thing to do because just my size, because I was too skinny. I was weighing like 134 pounds by that time. And but, you know, people start thinking when they see me play. And then, like, well, Gregorio Machado and Junior Roman was the scout that year with the Mets and decided to give me the opportunity to sign. And he said that I remind him of Kenny Lofton and Lance Johnson. So I'm like, okay. So I that's the type of guy they was in the majors, and Lance Johnson was with the Mets on those years. So I like to work. I love baseball. I always love to play. And I think the discipline and the intensity that I play baseball, that's made me go step by step, because I remember a lot of coaches told me too, hey, Andy, you got to eat because you're not going nowhere if you don't get your body right. And I'm like, okay, whatever. But I knew Felix Millan was an extended when I was there. And he told me, hey, Andy, when you hitting your line drive every day, you hitting for average and you playing the baseball the right way, nobody can touch you. So don't worry about it. Just keep playing hard and everything is going to be positive. And I'm like, okay, I will do it and see what happens. I'll make it to the majors.
And coming from Venezuela, when you came to the States, how much English did you speak at all? Did you speak any at all?
English?
Yeah.
Zero.
That's another subject. I mean, were you self-taught? How did you, pick it up that you were able to, talk about how hard that was maybe in the beginning for you.
Oh, well, that was terrible. It's still hard for me. I don't know.
Sometimes you're great, Andy.
Well, I understand the right way. But, in the beginning, when I wasn't standing, I had zero English. And I know I had Alex Escobar. That I always be on, hey, what did he say? Because I'm trying to get a word if I can understand, and it's every word is like kind of the same for me. I can't tell any different. And I started going to English class and I start picking up some words. And the funny part is like if the teacher say, okay, Andy, where donde? Where donde? Okay, where donde? And in 5 minutes, she asked me, Andy, where? And I'm like, oh, no, I hate it. But it's hard in the beginning.
So you did this on your own. You remember Jose Vizcaino?
Vizcaino, yeah.
Yeah, so he was struggling. And I was told to Jose, listen, just try. No one expects you to be perfect. And, I think, when dealing with the media, they really respect you, it's a second language and respect that you're trying to do it. And I think, the progress you made was great. And, Jose Reyes was the same thing, Andy. He taught himself, he got to the point where interviews were easy for him. But, I mean, you got to be proud of what do you tell young kids? I know you would say Lucy most of the year. What did they ask you about the catch, about your career? What did he mostly talk to you about? And I know you're a long-time major leaguer.
English is very important, especially when, when you play, you have to get very, very good communication. And by the way, I'm glad Jose don't get me in a TikTok or Instagram like he does with Encarnacion. So, yes. It's very important, especially in the beginning of the career, that we don't control very good interviews. And be honest. If you don't understand the question, just ask, repeat the question in another way so I can understand, because it's very bad when they ask a question and you answer something that you not be asked. So that's happened to me a lot, because I'm like, what did you say? No. Give me another word that I can understand. Speak English. That's what I tell the reporters. So they start laughing and they trying to figure out what words they can use so I can understand. So I remember my first interview in the majors when I got called up. I feel like when they start the line for the camera and stuff like that, I forgot my English, my Spanish, everything. Everything was blank. So I'm very nervous. Like, oh my God, what's this?
Hey, Andy, before I forget, you live in New Jersey. Like, last time we spoke, you had said you were involved with trying to build the Little League field. Is that still going on, or are you trying to do that?
Yes, I'm working on it right now. Yeah.
And do you do a lot of work with kids in the community?
Well, that's what I'm trying to get. To start help a lot of kids that, you know, I know sometimes it's hard and expensive to do a sport, and that's all about. So incentive that, you know, put the kids on the fields and keep it busy doing sport.
Hey, how do you like the other side, the coach? In 2019, you were with Fonzie and Brooklyn won the championship. Now you were with St. Lucie. I mean, you want to keep going on with this? You like the teaching side of it?
I mean, I love it. I'm enjoying it, you know? And especially looking from, you know, watching the new talent that is coming up and have a chance to be a major league player. So it's like a special gift that I can, you know, let know the guy, share my information, and trying to get it from the beginning, do the thing the right way so they can, you know, be a very good player in the future. And like to be with Fonzie, 2019 in Brooklyn, it was an awesome experience. It was my first year coaching, and we have a pretty good group down there. And I mean, the kids, they can tell they was feeling comfortable. They was playing hard, doing the right thing, and we win it all. You can see the results.
Andy, I got a really tough question before we go back to Brooklyn. How many Nathan's hot dogs did you eat that year?
Not many. Come on.
Why was that? I had like three a day. I love Nathan's
I know.
Hot dogs. And French fries and a jelly apple. And speaking of the young players, what, you know, without signaling some players, is there any young players let Met fans know on the horizon that might hear from them that you work with the last year or two? Any young outfielders or anybody you want to mention do you think has got a good future?
I mean, we have pretty good talent in the farm down here. And, you know, a few players that they have the talent, and they just have to improve themselves. They can, you know, make the adjustment and keep moving up. I just saw playing like Alex Ramirez, Omar De Los Santos as an outfielder. That's my area, you know. They have pretty good talent there. And we have teacher staff too. They have pretty good pitching on the beginning of the farm. And we just got to, you know, keep the eye on them and make them prove themselves so they can be in the future major league level.
Yeah. And I got another tough question for you. You were in St. Lucie most of the summer. When I was there for spring training, I used to eat at Chili's like four nights a week. They gave me a special table there to have. How many times did you go to Chili's at all?
Oh, not many. I think I went once because I'm like, can the guy very lazy to go eat, take a dinner every day, you know, on the street. I like to eat home, more homemade and stuff like that.
You probably eat better than I do, Andy. You know.
Yeah.
Can you believe, Andy, 15 years, 2021 now, 15 years, you know, since the catch. When you go out in the streets, how often do you get, hey, are you Andy Chavez? Did you make the catch?
Almost every day. Even on the social media, they just almost send me that video every day. Like, they tag me and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, it's been crazy because, like you said, it's 15 years ago and the people still talking about it like it was last season. And it's, you know, it's fun because the people doesn't get tired. They appreciate that.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was an amazing catch. And listen, keep doing good work with the community, what you're doing, and always good to catch up with Jenny. And, you know, it's got to be really special for you. No matter what happens, you know, 50 years from now, Andy Chavez will always have a part in New York Mets history, and well-deserved too, sir.
Oh, thank you. I'm appreciated. And, you know, it's more than happy for me to be part of this family, because this is the team, especially gave me the opportunity to be on professional baseball. Yeah. And made myself as a baseball player. So, always that is going to be very grateful for me.
Have you heard Gary? You've heard Gary Cohn's call it a catch, right?
Oh, yeah.
When I still hear it, I still get chills. I do. I really, I can hear it a million times, and I still get chills. Andy Chavez, thank you for spending time, and, you know, good luck with everything you're doing, and hope to see you around the ballpark soon.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, you know, I love you.
I love you too, Andy.
All right.
Thanks, my friend.